Well, praise the Lord. Well, that's a good way to start, isn't it? Through it all, I was thinking what a great honor it is to be here with y'all today. I do pastor the Rosebud Baptist Church, called of God. You have to be called of God to do anything. What do y'all think? You got to have the Holy Ghost of God on you. I've been a Christian for a long time. My brother John Stansel led me to the Lord when I was in the 10th grade. The Lord allowed me to play football and wrestle and baseball in high school. So in the 10th grade, the 11th grade, I had gotten in the local paper. And so I had a little trophy and I had a little paper. And I took it up to my brother's house. And I asked my brother, I said, look, I wore this trophy. And I wanted to tell you about it because I wanted him to be proud of me. He said, Lloyd, what trophy you gonna give Jesus? And here I went for him to brag on me. And he introduced me to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I've never gotten over it. I'm 64 years old now. And God has been faithful every day. Through the good times and the bad times, and I thought about y'all as missionaries. And I thought about sometimes when you're on the mountaintop on the field, but I also thought about you when you was in the valley on the field, because there's mountaintop experiences and there's valley experiences. But praise God, the God we serve is a God of the mountain, and he's also God of the valleys. Oh, I'm telling you, we have an awesome God. It is not for me to. It's an honor. Many years ago, we was over there at the Forest Hills Baptist Church, and we had a little softball team. And I was in charge of it, and we were going to play these other churches and stuff. And I thought that when you play, you're supposed to name the name of Christ. If you're a Christian, that's what I thought. So I was crazy enough to put on the back of those uniforms, ambassadors. You know, I figured ambassadors for Christ would be a good name. But we got to play that softball before I know it. I saw some people that was not ambassadors. I had to get over that. But you can't let stuff discourage you. I'm thinking of this great verse in the Bible. It said, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. The Bible said that he was under pressure. And I'm telling you today that when you get under pressure, you can go to God and he'll help you. Even this morning, being light with you, I went down to check on the ladies. And they're all excited down there. They're down there doing some palace work. You know what palace work is? Making sure everything is in order. But there's also something different from palace work. It's called kingdom work. And I'm telling you, when you're working for God, there's a difference between serving a meal and serving Jesus. Hallelujah to Christ. You will find today, you'll find the finest food down there. You'll find the finest ladies down there. Some of them have been serving with me for 20-something years. Doesn't matter their age. Most people in my church are older. And buddy, you can count on them every time, because they learned as teenagers how to walk with Christ and how to work with Christ. And they don't say, I can't do it. They say, what can I do? Hallelujah to Christ. I saw this. They sent me a little title here to preach on the theme. They said, continue. So I knew that I needed to continue on with Christ. So I just decided to get me a verse, a bunch of continue verses. And if you look in the Bible, there's some good ones. So I just decided to start down through there. I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 19:1. Excuse me, Psalm 113:3. I'm going to start with that one. Psalm 113:3. I believe if you're going to be a strong Christian for Christ, no matter if you're a preacher, or no matter if you're a piano player, no matter if you're a youth director, or no matter if you're a missionary, I believe you have to praise God. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Recently, I came up with this verse. I didn't come up with it. I read it. And then I decided it was a good thing to practice. How many of y'all ever read a verse in the Bible and you applied that to your life and you started practicing? Say amen. Here it is. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And if a smart aleck comes up to me and says, Brother Lloyd, the sun is not shining today. What are you going to do? I've just decided to praise the God from daylight to dark. And it don't matter if it's cloudy or if it's sunshine. Amen. Don't let people discourage you. Discouraging is one of the worst things that can ever happen in your life. Don't get discouraged. Let God encourage you. The Holy Ghost of God will give you something that no counseling from another pastor will give you. From the Holy Ghost of God, you'll get some counseling that no man can ever tell you. My wife has been teaching Sunday school for 23 years. She's cataloged every one of them and typed them out. That's not me, hallelujah to Jesus. Every once in a while when I need a verse, I don't have to go to the Bible. I can say, honey, where's that found? How many of y'all know that's a blessing of God? And all you women in here, I want to say to you, praise God that you stand by your husband in thick and thin. My wife told me a number of years ago, I think we've been married 45 years or something. I'll tell you one thing. I remember when it's the anniversary, she's getting some flowers. Don't matter if she wants them or not, she's getting flowers. And you'll know why as I preach this message. When you have a wife in the ministry, she said we met in high school. When she was 13 and I was 14 at Stone Mountain High School, not too far from here, I looked at her. Man, she's pretty. I said, I'm going to marry you. She laughed in my face. Have y'all ever known it just when it hits you, you know that's the one? Hey, she was dead in the water, buddy. I was focusing on her. You know in your heart, she grew up in a primitive Baptist church, and she said to me, now I wasn't living for Jesus during those days too much. Y'all know, just go ahead and tell the truth. You do better with God when you be truthful with him. She said, the only person I would never want to marry was a preacher. I told her the other day, I said, honey, when me and you got married, I wasn't a preacher. How many of y'all know what I'm saying without saying a word? But buddy, she's been faithful. At the Rosebud Baptist Church, we didn't have a piano player. I said, honey, take that up. Take it up. She's a straight A in student in high school. She can do English straight A's. She can do the piano straight A's. Buddy, she started pecking on that piano. And listen, you just kind of play along. She didn't have to know all the notes. The Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And if we quit worrying about everything being perfect, we'd be better off because there's nobody perfect. Buddy, she's been playing that piano. Learn to play. You can learn anything. It was interesting. The choir director back then, he would sing songs. You know how you, when you first start, you got to match up the book with the music. And he would decide to sing a song, she couldn't play it. And he'd just get up there and lead it with no music, and she'd sit there at the piano, and we'd just move right along. You say, well, Brother Lloyd, did that offend her and get her upset? What difference does it make? We're serving God. You'll be all right. Hey, she didn't come home crybabying around, all that kind of stuff. Now, let me hurry. Help us, Jesus. The Bible says in verse number 4, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbled himself to behold the things that in the heaven and in the earth? He raised up the poor out of the dust, and he lifted up the needy out of the dunghill. Oh, let me just preach just a minute right there. Let me just preach. I come from a family. My daddy was a full-blown alcoholic. 100% drank every weekend, drank every day of his life. He was a full-time gambler. Let me tell you something. We lived in South Carolina, in Fairplay, South Carolina. And we were tenant farmers. Most of you that's older know what a tenant farmer is. You had the opportunity to go work their crops. And then when harvest came, then you received the harvest. Hallelujah to God. How many of y'all know there's going to be a harvest one day? Hallelujah. But that was a harvest that came in. A lot of times daddy would get the money because the men always dealt with men back in those days. Y'all remember? He'd drink it up. But you know what? God knew that we lived at Route 1, Fairplay, South Carolina. God knew it. And he said, I believe he said from heaven, I got a special deal right over there for that bunch right there. I got a special deal. My brother was 14 years old when he left home. Johnny was 14 years old, and he slept in the back of the car, and my other brother was 16. They slept in the back of the car. Neither one of them had, you know, a high school education. As of today, a lady saw him in the back of the car over here at the Yellow River and invited them to church, and they accepted Jesus Christ. And my brother today, his company is worth $10 million today. I'm telling you that God can look at Fairplay, South Carolina, Route 1, whose daddy is a drunk, whose daddy is a grand gambler, and he could reach down and he could pull him out of the dunghill. Hundreds have been saved. Hundreds have been saved because of my brother. I had the opportunity a number of years ago to go to a convention in California, an MCI convention, and that's the buses that you buy for $600,000, $700,000 each. We was out there with John Madden, and Johnny slipped up beside me one day. And he said, Lloyd, I'm going to witness to him in just a little while. Would you pray that he'd be sensitive to the witness? Now, if y'all know my brother, he's not scared of anything. But he knew that he was doing some kingdom work, and he needed the hand of God right there with him. He witnessed to John Madden. Now, I don't know if John got saved, but I'll tell you one thing. He does know how to go to heaven today. He knows how to go to heaven. Hallelujah to Christ. We have an awesome God. I got to hurry along here. Get bound down. I get bound down when I think about the grace of God. Good Lord. And then when y'all got up here doing those testimonies, I had to grab my handkerchief out early and started wiping my eyes because I know the same God y'all know. Now, let me tell you this, just a second. My wife told me not to be careful, not to tell too many stories. I don't know if she meant true stories or lies. One of my good friends at the church, her name is Joy Gibby. Joey Gibby was taught many, many years ago how to drive a bus. My brother taught her how to drive a bus. She sat in the front, and he sat in the seat behind her. Now, I don't advise this in our day. But he'd take a newspaper, and he said, now, what you do, you drive, it's kind of like having tunnel vision. And when you're driving a 66 passenger, and you've never driven, then you put right in there. That's how we used to do it in the old days. He'd take that newspaper, and if she turned her head the wrong way, he'd pop her on the side of the head. Hey, some people would have quit the ministry and said, he's too mean. But not her. She learned how to drive the school bus, brought in kids. 1,500 kids a week came in. And here's what happened. She became a bus driver for DeKalb County and retired and had a fat retirement. You can't ever know. Recently, she went home to be with the Lord. One of the greatest things that's ever happened into my life, and I've preached many, many funerals. I went in the room up at DeKalb General, and she was back there, and she said, send in Brother Lloyd. I said, I'm here, Joy, what you need? She said, Brother Lloyd, I want to tell you something. I said, tell me. She raised her hand up out of that bed, knowing that she was dying. And she said, Brother Lloyd, I know him. She said, I know him. And she said, I know that you know him too. Hallelujah. Y'all, listen, I hadn't got over it. I hadn't got over it. She said, I know him. And we preach and we teach week after week that we know him. But it's different when you know that you know him. They used to preach and they used to say, I have a no-so salvation. Listen to me, church. I'm saying to you today, I have a no-so salvation. I know who found me. And I know who saves me. I know who secures me. And I know who keeps me unto that day. Oh, hallelujah. He's a good God. I want to tell you a little story here, and I'll hurry. I was downstairs, go check on my ladies. Buddy, they down there, they ready for y'all. I guarantee you, you ain't never eating spaghetti as much as you're going to eat today. Oh, hallelujah. But I tell you how God does it. I was downstairs, and y'all know that they said we had 10 minutes. So I decided, I'm going to go down the elevator. This is a big place, got a lot of halls in it. Can I say amen right there? To the glory of God. This is an answer to prayer, this building that we sit in today, that we preach in today. God is not slack on anything. I was downstairs talking to my ladies. They was loving me and telling me that they loved me, and I love them. And I'm telling you, you will never get anywhere in the work of God unless you love the people. But I came up one of those stairs, Brother Foskey, and evidently I came up the wrong one. I'm going down this dark hall, and I thought to myself, they fixing to start upside up yonder, and I'm down here in this hall, don't even have a clue where I am. And one of those classroom doors says give. That's what it said on that. I looked at that door, and I said, Lord, I need for you to give me some directions to get back upstairs. Can I get a witness? And I made it back up here. You say to me, Brother Lloyd, that's a little thing. That's a big thing. There are going to be times in your life that you need just a little thing for God to do. I'm talking about stuff that everybody thinks is not important, but is important. The Bible says to praise the Lord. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and be a joyful mother of the children. I want to say to you missionary wives, God bless your heart that you raise the children a lot of times in a foreign land. But let me tell you something, there ain't nothing like teaching those boys and girls about Jesus Christ. And when they get old, they'll know how to walk with Christ. And then the second thing I want to say to you, not only should we continue to praise, but we can should continue to worship. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was honored. I forget who called me. Somebody called me and said, you going to preach? Will you preach at the 50th? The only thing I thought about, here's what I thought. I said, man, those guys are pretty faithful, and they've been going on for a long time. And that's a pretty, looked like to me, that's a pretty solid group. How many of y'all believe that God is looking for a solid group today? But the scripture on that is Psalm 22:1. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Then the third thing I want to say to you, we're to continue in praise and we continue in worship and we continue in work. Yeah. Nehemiah went to the king and said, hey, listen, the Bible said that he was a cupbearer and he didn't look good when he went to see the king that day. And the king said, what's wrong with you? And the king recognized, he says, this is nothing but sorrow. And Nehemiah said, I'm sorrowful because of the sepulchers that lay in waste in Jerusalem. And the Bible said that he went and prayed. But if you want to find out direction, you better pray about it before you go somewhere. Don't you be jumping in there and doing something stupid. You go ahead and ask God and let the Holy Ghost of God tell you it's all right, and then go ahead and do it, and God will make it come to pass. You know what he did? He asked permission of the king. He asked permission for protection. He asked permission. He said, oh, by the way, king, will you give me the wood to build the place? Let me tell you something. You have not because you ask not. Keep asking God, and God answer you. I want to tell you this little thing real quick here. A man came by my house one day, and he'd been working for another man for 30-something years. And when the mama died, this man had been so faithful that he said to him, he said, I want to give you my mama's house. Now, how many of y'all understand sometimes you can't tell people about the blessings of God because they get upset because somebody's blessed somebody else? Did y'all catch all that? That lady said to me, I was telling her being a blessing. She said, well, why did it happen to me? And I thought to myself, because you wasn't that man that worked 30 years, dummy. Oh, excuse me. My wife would never okay that. How many of y'all realize sometimes God's blessings on you? I remember coming over and having to get some directions from Brother Richards one time. We were building onto our church, and I thought it was good. First time we built on, we borrowed $175,000 and the people didn't say nothing. The second time we built on, we had cash to pay for it. So I thought, praise God, how many of y'all think normally it's pretty good to, if you got cash to pay for something, is that good? I mean, that's what I've been taught. Lo and behold, somebody gave us $200,000, and boy, people were upset and mad. I came over here to Dr. Richards, and I said, Dr. Richards, something's wrong with me. I said, we got $400,000 to build a brand new building, and boy, they've given it to me. You know what it was? Everybody wanted to be in charge. Hey, let me tell you something. Your little work, or your work that you're doing is not doing good, nobody, they could care less. But buddy, if you start prospering, you have to watch it. What's he doing over there? What's he doing? Well, he might be following God while you're sitting on your rear end. Excuse me. You know what Brother Richard said to me? He said, Brother Lloyd, send that $200,000 over to me. And all you missionaries out here, you'd say, Brother Lloyd, I'll take it. But we built that building. It's a beautiful building. The same ones that was mean and aggravating. You say, Brother Lloyd, there ain't no such people as mean and aggravating at the church. You must not be in the same type work I'm in. If you're not careful, they'll have five people making five different desserts. And if you're not careful, if your dessert's not number one, you'll get mad as a hornet. You know what? I don't judge the pies and the cakes that come to church. You know, we raise money sometimes, $4,000 or $5,000 for the kids when I want to do something. Man, somebody asked me one time, they said, hey, will you be the judge? I didn't think nothing about it. Hey, I'm telling all of y'all, don't be the judge of nothing. Hey, his sister Susie has been fixing her cake for 80 years. Buddy, she's expecting to win. I don't care if you couldn't cut it you'd have to take a sledgehammer to drive it down to cut it in two. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm hurrying. I'm doing right. But Daniel continued in prayer, and he raised it up. But you know what? When he started building the walls, the Bible said Sanballat and Tobiah, they came against him. Let me tell you something. Anything that y'all ever try to do, you're going to get some opposition from the devil if it's of God. Now, if it's of the devil, you don't have to worry about it because that crowd don't care anyway. And by the way, y'all, there's still a difference between born-again people and lost people in 2017. They're trying to put everybody in the same bucket. They're trying to put them in there and say everybody's saved. But I'm telling you, when I preach the gospel and I look back there and the Holy Ghost of God lays on my heart, that man right there is not saved. And I know in my heart, in my spirit, and I can preach as hard as I want to. I can bring him every way to the cross. How many of us realize today that the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment? Y'all, it should sadden our heart when we know a person is not saved. It should sadden us. Because it's going to be a sad day when God says, depart from me. I never knew you. And we should continue in the word. 1 Timothy 1:5 says that Timothy was taught by his grandmother and by his mother and by the Apostle Paul. Let me tell y'all something. I've got some grandmothers at my church that their children, they're wayward. Some's in prison. And these little babies come along. They have nobody. And these grandmothers move in, even though they're elderly. And they move in and they try to raise their children's children. I believe in my heart. Doesn't say it in the Bible, but I just believe that there's a special place in heaven for people that take in people that nobody will have. Just take them in. I have a number of people like that. Don't ever get to the point that you feel like you're better than somebody else. I go down to the prison house and I talk to them at the prison house. Matter of fact, now I've got a lady that works down at the prison. This is a true story. I told her the other day, Brother Tommy, I said, now look, if they come down to the prison house, call me so I know in advance, so before I see them in the newspaper. I'll go down there and visit them behind bars. They've made bad decisions. Most of the time it's drug decisions. But I'm telling you what, people that's on drugs need Jesus like people that's not on drugs. They need somebody to reach across the line. You say, well, do you condone their lifestyle? No, but I'll guarantee there's a lot of things that I've done in my life that God didn't condone. Aren't you glad that God is a merciful God and He forgives us? And then we should continue in prayer. The Bible says there's a young man named Daniel. The scripture says that three times a day he prayed. And the Bible said they got jealous of him. The Bible says they decided to go against him. And they said, we can't find anything against him as the individual, but we can find something against God. They said he serves a God that we don't serve. And the Bible says that when Daniel found out what was happening,
He opened the door toward Jerusalem and kept on continuing praying.
Let me tell y'all something. When the world goes against you, just keep on praying. Keep up. There's a song, I think. I don't know if it's spiritual or not. I mean, scriptural or not. I hadn't checked it out. It says, keep on praying till the light breaks through. How many of y'all know when the light breaks through in your soul that you know everything's all right? And then the scripture says, unto you I will lift up mine eyes who dwells in the heavens. Other day when the eclipse came, it didn't surprise me. I put on my sign a week or two ago. The Lord told me this because I'm not very smart. He said, the heavens declare God's handiwork. And there was eclipse in here and eclipse in there and half eclipse in here and this and that and other. You say, where was you at, Brother Lloyd? I was down at Sam's. You say, well, why weren't you out there at the eclipse? Because I was buying stuff for the church. They needed some toilet paper and stuff. Matter of fact, one lady came up to me last Sunday. This is true. She said, preacher, do you think that we could have double ply toilet paper instead of one ply? Y'all quit laughing. You know you're not supposed to have fun as a Christian. You know that verse that says that laughter's like a good medicine. Don't you use that. You be mad all the time. Hey, listen, y'all. You need to enjoy Christ when you can, because is it not true that we have some hard times? Buddy, when you bury somebody's loved ones, man, you go to Jesus and said, please, Jesus, help me comfort that dear family. Their heart's breaking today. Now let me hurry on. I better get my watch out. I don't see that sign back there that says 5 minutes. I'm hurried. Are y'all okay right now? Y'all all right? Okay, I don't want to disturb nobody. I don't disturb any plans. But the Bible says that Timothy continued in the word because his grandmother and his mother and Apostle Paul. And God taught him. Listen, y'all, if you have a hard time, get you a verse. Get you a promise verse. Stir your spirit. Sometimes I have to stir my spirit. How many of you in here have to stir your spirit sometimes? I don't deal too much with other pastors because I got enough problems at my church without hearing their problems. Now, I love pastors. Y'all know that. But I can only take so much. Just like today. I mean, I'm here going to preach and got this message and I'm lost down there, Lord, please let me have that elevator wherever it may be. I don't want to be late for the meeting. And then we should continue giving. We should continue praising God. We continue to worship. We're continuing to pray. We're continuing to study the Word of God, and we're continuing to give. I want to tell you a story. I was with a man, Pastor Terry Rainey, at Mount Vernon Baptist Church. I worked for him for 18 years. I've been under great administrations. I worked for Brother Curtis. I worked for Dr. Rushen. Let me tell you how nice Dr. Rushen is. How many of y'all know Dr. Jim Rushen? How many of y'all know his kids? Fine people that walk with the Lord. He hired me over there at his school to be the athletic director. He brought me in the office. He's hired me. And I've known Dr. Rushen a long time. He's a big man. Dr. Rushen had big muscles. He said, Lloyd Stencil, the first time you're disloyal to me, I'm going to fire you on the spot. How would you like to be hired like that? You know what? Didn't matter to me because I know that you're supposed to do whatever ever who's in charge. Didn't matter to me a bit. He and I had a great relationship. I had another man that I worked for is Dr. Charles Ovlin. Down through the years, y'all, I've learned from other people. How many of y'all know that it's better to learn from somebody else and make the mistake yourself? Dr. Charles Ovlin was the administrator at Mount Vernon Christian School. They built a new gymnasium. The gymnasium was uh, the I think it was either the second largest building in Henry County. I was the athletic director and the PE coach and football coach and baseball coach. Dr. Elvin came to me one day, a man full of the Holy Ghost. And buddy, he was a disciplinarian. He could take the whole gym. Here was his rule. He said, if I walk in the gymnasium, if I hold my hand up like that, that means you stop talking, don't say a word. He could walk in that gymnasium, and buddy, I didn't say a word. And I worked for him, and he loved me. It didn't matter. I was shutting my mouth. Dr. Oven told me one day, he said, Lloyd, if you don't sweep that floor 7 times a day, I'm going to fire you. I said, Dr. Oven, don't worry about it. I'll be sweeping that floor. And you say, well, why didn't you quit? Why would I want to quit? I would rather for somebody to tell me what they expect than to play around. Right. What do y'all think about that? Just tell me what you expect. Get yourself over there and sweep that floor. And by the way, I love you. You said, did they love you? Dr. Ovlin went to be the administrator at public schools. And when I became the superintendent at Mount Vernon, I called Dr. Ovlin. I said, now, Dr. Ovlin, all this... certification, all the stuff. I said, I need you to help me. He came up there and he said this to me one day. He said, I'm proud of you. Now, y'all, if I'd quit on God because I didn't sweep the floor, I would have missed God's will. Don't be quitting because somebody hurt your feelings, because you're going to get your feelings hurt before you get downstairs. Don't be fooling around getting your feelings hurt. But continue giving. Pastor taught me about Luke 6:38. I was not a giver until I came to Rosebud Baptist Church. Now, I was a worker. I worked the bus route. We left about 9 o'clock in the morning, and we got back at the church about 3 in the afternoon. I did that for a long time. Matter of fact, when I was 16, my brother thought it was the right thing to do to send me downtown Atlanta on a bus route down there where the zoo is. And I picked up kids. One day we brought in 27 kids, and Johnny said to me, he said, well, I can tell that you didn't work and pray this week. Y'all quiet as a mouse. Why? Because those other people were bringing in 50. I had 27 at 16 years old. I thought that was all right. He didn't think it was all right. He knew I didn't do my best. Now I'm hurrying along. I'll go fast. But I learned 6:38, so when I became pastor of Rosebud Baptist Church, I told my wife, I said, honey, I really never tithe like I ought to. Now, I work for the Lord. We went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night visitation. We did it all. I said, I'm not gonna tell the people something that I won't do myself. And I only use one verse at Rosebud on giving, Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given you, shaken down. Running over, shall men give unto your bosoms. Is that what it says? Okay, let me tell you a story. I'm about finished. Are y'all about finished with me? Are we okay there? All right, here's the story. The Lord that I serve laid on my heart. Now, I'm sure other churches in America might do this, or other countries. I don't know, but I didn't get it from anybody. The Lord laid it on my heart. He laid it on my heart that one Sunday a year, that everything that came in that Sunday would go to missionaries. And I always did it on the first Sunday, because the first Sunday is, you know, they usually, the offerings are more high on the first Sunday and the third Sunday, so I didn't want to shortchange the missionaries. I wanted to do the best. So I started doing that, a few thousand. And one time we was doing it and the money was a little low. And I went to God. I said, hey, God, did I mess up here? How many of y'all know if the money gets low at church, everybody gets nervous? The Lord didn't tell me nothing. I said, okay. So this past year, on the first Sunday in April, our church, we have about 100 people in our church. Dr. Davis came over to the church about 2 weeks before our missionary offering, and he said, y'all need to pray about the offering. Because you know, when a preacher says it, they think you're begging for money. If you get an outsider to come in, they'll love him. How many of y'all know? Hey, that's the truth. Let me tell you what happened. On the first Sunday this past year, our offering for our missionaries was $22,000. And I took it and divided up between the missionaries. It was, and now that don't include their regular offering that they get. One home up in Indiana that's the girls' home that we support. He wrote me a letter, Dr. Williams, I think that's his name. He wrote me a letter, and he said, "Pastor, this is unusual. Did y'all's church close?" Because evidently, you know, sometimes when churches close, they just divide up what they got and give it to the missionaries. Man, I got so excited. Did your church close? I'm thinking, if you think our church closed, you wait to what next year's offering's going to be. How many of y'all remember Dr. Roloff coming in, the girls singing? Hey, y'all. Same thing that can happen now. We can see people saved now just like they did in the old days. I'm going to tell you one more thing and I'll close. I got a lot more, but I'm done. I know y'all are hungry. This past Sunday, one of the churches, and if I call the name, y'all would know who it is. One of the churches decided that they was going to try to reach some people for Christ. And they told their church people not to come on Sunday night, and they invited all of the ball teams around there to come over and wear their uniforms. And my grandson goes to church over there, and he said, "Papa," he said, "those schools came, and our church stayed home, and they prayed." And he said 90 people trusted Christ. Amen. Now, y'all, you can't make that kind of stuff up. And it has to be God. I want to say to you, y'all, I love you. And I want you to do well. And I want Corinth to do well. I want all of your ministries to do well. And it's been an honor to preach to you. And I love you. Because the last time I checked, all of us in this room are ambassadors for Christ. There's a little verse that says that we're created in the image of God. I think I read that. So if we're created in the image of God, I think it would be a good idea to be reflectors for Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I bless and I praise you.